Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you are joining us today. For today's podcast, we will be continuing our Back to the Future series, Possessing the Promises of God, as we learn to embrace the journey of possessing the promises with God and not forget to embrace the one who is leading us on the journey. So prepare your hearts for a powerful and encouraging message from God. Enjoy and be blessed.
The journey continue in 3, 2, 1.
Our main text, if you have your Bibles, is Exodus 3, 1 through 15. I'll read through that portion, and then we will move right along. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' So he said, 'I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.' Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generation.'" So today, we're going to talk about Back to the Future, Possessing the Promises. Everybody say, "The Journey." The Journey. All right. If you're familiar with The Journey, and of course, we got the initiation last week. So let's talk about what is the definition of a journey. Journey is defined as the act of traveling from one place to another, especially travel involving a considerable distance. Journey is also defined as a long and often difficult process of personal change and development. Now, one of the things I want to add to this with a journey, something that's extremely vital to a journey is that of vision and mission. Everybody say vision and mission. The reason is, if you don't know where you're going, it is very unlikely you will arrive where you want to go or receive the desired end. And that being the promise. Everybody say the promise. Vision. Everybody say vision. Vision is the destination you're going. Do you know where you're going this morning? Mission is the what, the purpose, what you are to do on the way and when you arrive to the destination. I'll give an example. How many understand debt? Okay, nobody raised their hand. Okay, example. Vision would be, I want to get out of debt. Mission is how you're going to accomplish getting out of debt. Okay, so in Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish or they throw off restraint." So the truth of the matter is, we're going to go on a journey. You got to know where you're going. You got to know what's the vision and what's the mission. Everybody say the vision, and the mission. All right. Okay, so I got several points, about 7 points we're going to talk about today. And the first one is the journey. Number one, the journey is often marked by transformation. Number one, the journey is often marked by transformation. most often than not, there's a transformation we must undergo to receive what God has promised. Changes that are needed to help us become more aligned to who God is and what he is doing. God is a God of power. Everybody say, God's a God of power. See, God demonstrated his power through signs and wonders as the Lord sought to deliver his people out of Pharaoh's bondage. And though Israel saw the power of God on display, what they saw with their eyes did not change what was in their hearts. God was working to change their hearts and the minds of his peoples from slaves to that of a people who would worship him and to become a kingdom of priests unto all nations and peoples. Does everybody have a change of heart today? Amen. The greatest promise we can receive from God is a promise of a changed heart and a changed mind. God was able to deliver Israel out of Egypt, yet the generation of adults that came out of Egypt did not enter to the promised land because they still had Egypt in them. Do you still have a bit of the world in you? See, the Bible says in Psalm 103:7, Moses knew God's ways, Israel knew his acts. There's a difference. So you can know God's ways. You should know God's ways, not just his acts. In other words, knowing who he is versus just knowing what he can do. In 1 Corinthians 10:1-11, I want to read this to you, if you'll go there, because this is important as we walk through this journey. 1 Corinthians 10:1-11, and I'll turn over there to you. And just for you to hear as we walk through this journey, because what Paul says here is something very important that you and I need to hear concerning Israel. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:1-11. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered into the wilderness. Now these things became our examples. Everybody say examples. Yeah. See, these are examples, things that we need to note. Amen. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them, as during the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 20,000 fell. Jesus. Everybody say example.
Example.
Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, yep, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Yep. Now, all these things, everybody say all these things.
All these things.
All these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition or as a warning upon whom the ends of the ages have come. See, we need to pay attention to this journey. This journey we're on is not so much about going from point A to B. It also involves undergoing the process of personal change and development in order to receive the promises of God. If we resist what God wants to do in us, the journey becomes more difficult.
That's right.
Instead of resisting God, we should resist any desire to shortcut the process. We want what God has promised oftentimes without going through what it takes to get it, okay? It has been said, God must first make the man or the woman before he makes the ministry, the work, or the business, or what he's called you into.
That's good.
I'll just share briefly a quick testimony with that in mind. My wife and I, when we were short time married, and then about 1988, we were in a church, and this was not a church we were going to. We were visiting, and there was an international prophet that called us out. It was the first prophecy we ever received. And that prophecy, again, was May of 1988. So when God called my wife and I, we were both called to the ministry. That kind of happened individually. That happened individually, but we knew we were called together. God called us and made us a family and a family of ministers. We have experienced much on this journey. I'll say the good, the bad, and sometimes ugly. All right. We have seen many things fulfilled from that prophecy. Matter of fact, you know, one was our first son. We were foretold about our son. But there are many more things that are yet fulfilled. We've had other prophecies, but this was a prophecy for our life that we had received, and there's still parts of that. We have learned to enjoy the journey. Everybody say enjoy.
Enjoy.
Because there's some things on journey you don't like enjoying. And have made ourselves to be continual learners. My wife and I said we made ourselves to be continual learners. And this is one major thing we've learned on our journey. And that has been that since God has called us into the ministry to be leaders in his kingdom, be a people, we have learned more of what not to do than what to do in terms of the leaders we have served under these years. Well, God has taught us a lot as individuals, as leaders, but a lot of it's been what not to do. But let me emphasize, one of the things we were told was the Lord said, it will take some time for all of this to be fulfilled. He said, allow the processing of the Lord to come forth. See, you can resist the processing.
That's right.
See, you want to get to destination, but see, it's going to take some time for it to all to be fulfilled. See, when getting to the finish line becomes your sole motivation, the journey becomes more difficult. If I can just get to the end. No, it's allowing God to work the process. When you understand the purpose of the journey, you can learn to enjoy it. Grow in your relationship with God and see what the Lord is doing. So you can enjoy every step. In the movie Star Wars, the original Star Wars movie, it wasn't the original, it was Empire Strikes Back, the Yoda tells Luke, he says, your mind is always on the future, not where you are. You see, sometimes we're trying to get to the, if I could just get here, if I could just get there. No, but in the here, in the now. Turn to your neighbor and say, enjoy the now. He said, God, I'll serve you better when I get to my wealthy place or when I get this or that, I'll do better. No, right now. Everybody say right now. See, in this way, we may learn his ways and know that every step within the process has meaning and purpose. And every step can be celebrated at a time of learning. One thing to note is that the Lord will give. Now, listen, this is good. The Lord will give small wins and victories in the journey to increase our faith before arriving at the place of the fulfillment of the promise. In other words, it keeps your faith going.
Right.
Number two, preparation for the journey. Everybody say, God is the God of preparation.
God is the God of preparation.
And you know what? God is going to prepare you whether you want to or not. With any journey, there must be a time of preparation. When it comes to God and his will, plan, and purpose for our lives, in order to receive the promise, there must be seasons of preparation.
Right.
Preparation is often twofold. Now catch this. There is God's ways to prepare us. Then there are those things we know to do or should know to do to be prepared. Probably an example would be, if you're called to the ministry, you would probably, God is going to deal with you in his calling. He's going to deal with your heart. He's going to deal with your mind. He's going to show you some things in the Word of God. But at the same time, the thing you and I must do, we must get the training. We must undertake things like it would be natural. We go to Bible school. Get seminary training, mentoring. Some people, I don't need seminary. I know the Bible. Whatever. Okay. All right. Mentoring with other seasoned ministers that are proven. See, God expects, everybody said expects. God expects to follow his part of the training and the part of the training that you're supposed to. And it's not just for ministry, but this whether you're called to a business, whether it's even family, husband and wife. Okay, we got quiet on that one. All right, moving on. Number three, how do you or should you walk out the journey? I'm so glad y'all asked, so I'm going to tell you. Getting to the finish line, the place of fulfillment of what God has promised is important. But equally as important is how we journey, how we walk out the process, how we keep our eyes on the promise, yet remain aware of the present. See, in this journey, many fail to get to the promises because they do not know how to journey well. You can start out good, but if you do not journey well, there's a strong possibility you will not finish well. Or when you arrive at the destination, you've missed stuff along the way that God wanted you to know. Of the 600,000 men who came out of Egypt, only two got the promise. Everybody say, only two. Let that sink in. Only two. Now listen, not even Moses made it into the promised land. Now we're going to discuss more about this, but think about that. Moses, who was chosen, did not make it into the promised land. So just being called doesn't mean that you're going to make it. In our text for today, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Now, here's the thing about burning bushes. Burning bushes were not unusual occurrences. What was unusual about this bush, that it did not burn up. It didn't burn up because God was at work in it. Is God at work in your life? Let us briefly look at the work God was first doing in Moses. I thought it would be important to some realization about Moses himself, his journey before the journey. Moses' personal journey before the leading the people of Israel, he was 40 years as an Egyptian. A lot of people overlook this. He was 40 years an Egyptian, lived as an Egyptian before he led the children of Israel. Now think about that. I don't know how many people are 40 years old in here, but I'm telling you, 40 years is a long time, isn't it? But get this. Then he spent an additional 40 years as the shepherd in Midian. So he was a leader in Egypt. Many believe he actually took the role that was created under Joseph, what was called, many scholars called a co-regent position. He became the king under the king. And then he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert in Midian, herding sheep. So he went from a palace to shepherding. See, we cannot overlook the journey of Moses before he begins the journey with Israel. The mission God called him to in delivering the children of Israel, raised in Egypt to learn their skills and leadership principles. See, the Egyptians were very skilled and had great leadership principles. God don't waste nothing. He was also trained as a shepherd in Midian. We must understand, now listen, we must understand God will use all, everybody say all. God will use all our experiences in our journey to prepare us for what he has promised to fulfill in our lives. See, if you consider something not important, or let me hurry up and get through that, God doesn't look at it that way. Everything, because here's the thing about it. He knows everything you're going to go through beforehand. Now I want you to turn to Acts 7, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 30. I think this is very important because it's just what I was sharing with you about Moses. Everybody say about Moses. Because he's the one leading this. Amen. So we're going to go to Acts 7. If I can get there. They probably got it up there quicker than I get it. Maybe I should just read it up there. Okay. We'll do it like this. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. You go to the next one. Till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. You say, Pastor Rob, why is that so important? Because you see the travel, the journey of Moses and how important it was for him and what God was going to do in his life. Amen? So I want you to see that because you know what's interesting about that whole thing? It actually says that Moses was well-versed. He was educated in all the wisdom. And listen, it said he was powerful in speech and action. Now, by the time he met God at that burning bush, you know what he told God? Oh, I can't speak. God beat the Egyptian out of him. Isn't that so? So sometimes God, as he's making you emote, he's got to beat some stuff out of you, work some stuff out of you, and then put some stuff in you at the same time. Let me share this with you. Too many fail to enjoy the journey they're on with God. I'm going to give you four reasons why a lot of people don't enjoy the journey. Number one, stuck on the past. Everybody say stuck on the past. See, they love the glory of the past. Oh, I remember when, and, you know, it was great back then and everything. You know, we do that in the body of Christ. Oh, I wish I was back then, but you're not back then. You're now. Amen. Number two, despise where they are right now on the journey. In Zechariah 4:10, it says, for who has despised the day of small beginnings? So a lot of people, again, don't enjoy where they are. They think, man, when I become somebody, then I will do this or that. They despise where they are now. Do you despise where you are now? So you don't, you know, and you cannot enjoy or allow God to do what he wants to do when you despise now. Number three, they fear the expectations that may be required of them. Fear the expectations. Number four, the sacrifices they must make or what they may have to give up or lose. Let me tell you something. On this journey, there's going to be some times of loss. See, you must know that on our journey with God to obtain the promises, listen, there will be times of sacrifice and loss. So you can't have it all, not with God. Let me give you an example. Joseph was taken from his family and alienated from his brothers. See, he lost that relationship, but we know what happens future. Let me say this one. Jesus had to leave heaven and empty himself of his divinity in order to sacrifice himself for us. That was a type of loss or sacrifice. Though God was in the midst of it, this bush that we're talking about, it was not consumed. In like manner, God wants to be in our midst, not to consume us, but to refine us. We must go through the process of being refined if we have any hope of being who he wants us to be. In the journey the Lord has for each of us, there will be many times and seasons of refinement in our character, our hearts, our thinking, our behavior, and even our lifestyle.
That's right.
The Lord will use as many means as necessary. No, you don't want to hear this. The Lord will use as many means as necessary to refine us, even people.
That's right.
People. Ever say people?
People.
He will use people, good and bad, along the path to the promise. So you better watch how you treat people. Amen. The Lord, again, when he appeared to him in this bush, it was a strange phenomenon because it was not burning up. Moses turned aside to see this great sight, to see why the bush did not burn up. Now listen to this. Sometimes God will have us to turn aside or away from something we're familiar or comfortable with to go towards and receive what seems impossible to achieve from God. You have to turn aside. You have to say, stop looking at that. We may be looking at that which is comfortable and easy, and assume this must be the path or the journey. It's easy. I don't have to really do nothing. But God changes that. You know why? Because the Lord is the Lord of our lives. We are not our own. We're bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. In other words, I'm not the Lord of my life. He is the boss. And if he said, you're moving from here to there, you do it. Abraham didn't have this huge argument with God. He said, go. Now, Moses had a little bit of an argument. I can't speak, but guess what? God did not give in to his plans. In Proverbs 14 and 12 and also 16:25. Now listen, it's mentioned twice in Proverbs. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Death. See, I think this would be the thing to do. I'm going to try this. But unless you know it's God, you could be originating death. Getting back to our story, when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. The Lord said to him, do not draw near this place. Do not come any closer, but take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Question, what made that place holy? Easy. It was the presence of God. Before Moses could begin the journey, now listen. Before Moses could begin the journey, the mission of delivering his people, he had to know who God is. Do you know who God is? God wanted Moses to know him before he began this journey, and that he was in the presence of a holy and powerful God. See, sometimes we can run off and do stuff and don't know the God or the author of it. See, that's why those men that Jesus talked about, he said in that day they will say, Lord, Lord, many wonderful works. But he'll say, depart from me because I never knew you. So you can be doing great things and don't know the God of the great things. The question is, do you know who God is in your life? So he said, don't come any closer because this is a holy place. And the Bible says that he said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now think about it. All three of those folks were dead in the natural. But the way God is speaking, they're still alive. He said, I am the God of them. Wow. Is God your God?
Wow.
At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Number four, the purpose of the journey. After God reveals who he is to Moses, then he reveals purpose to him, calling him out in the mission journey he is to take on to deliver his people. So you have to know the purpose of the journey. In Exodus 3, and as you go a little further, and I'll jump down in 7 through 18, it says, if we go back there, I should have just kept that mark. If y'all just put that back up there in Exodus 3, I want to shoot down to that verse after, well, he reveals the plan to him. And here are the four things that God reveals to Moses before he sent. Why he is being sent. Everybody say the why. You got to know the why of your journey. Why are we going on this journey? When you go on a vacation, you know why you're going, don't you? We're going to Georgia. Hey, you know why you're going to Disney. Why he is being sent. Right, the why. Why are we going? Who sent him? Where they're going, and what was going to take place. I love that because he lays out to him the journey. See, this journey that Moses had been given to deliver the children of Israel is a fulfillment of what the Lord told Abraham in Genesis 15, 12 through 16. We'll read this. And if you go there, it's Genesis 15, 12 through 16. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. The Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. So even Abraham, you see this, God reveals this plan to Abraham that he reveals to that is being fulfilled through Moses. Isn't this a wonderful thing? Think about this. God told Abraham before he had even had a child. He told him about his descendants before they were even in his loins. One of the things, if you look down to verse 16, I thought this was interesting. It talks about, go and gather the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. I'm sorry, this is in the Exodus 3. He says, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. I thought it was interesting that of the gathering of the elders, Moses didn't just jump off and say, well, I'm going to go do this myself. God told him to gather the leaders in preparation to get for them to know what was going to be done. Let me tell you something. God's plans and purposes are not our little personal secrets.
Come on now.
We're in a kingdom. We're in a family. It's not a secret. So God wanted the children of Israel and the elders and the leaders to gather to know so they could pray and seek God to know what they were going to do.
That's
so
right.
Nobody would be off doing our own little thing.
Okay.
God told Abraham the purpose of his journey and from where they were into where they were headed. Do you know where you're headed? So if you don't know where you're going, you'll wind up anywhere. In Genesis 12, 5 through 7, Abraham, the Bible says there, Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. Now, the purpose of this journey for Abraham and his wife Sarah was not for themselves. Everybody said, not for themselves.
Not for themselves.
See, it was for others. Everybody say, his descendants. This just one. Hey, this is just Abraham, Sarah, and Lot. We just going to enjoy this little place. No, it was for others, which includes, listen to this, his descendants includes us. Turn to yourself. He's talking about me. All right. Which includes us today that will come into the kingdom through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of us who are born again, we are Abraham's descendants. Abraham saw this day and it was revealed to him by Jesus. And I love this because Jesus shared this encounter with the Jews. If you go to John 8, 56 through 59, this is what he told him. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He was saying, I'm Jehovah God. I'm the one that was talking to him. Isn't that a beautiful picture that Jesus lays it out? Me and Abraham talked about this, my day coming, and he rejoiced. You see, in this we learn that Abraham got an awesome view of the eventuality of the purpose of his journey. And he could rejoice in it, as Jesus said. This is why Abraham is known as the father of faith, the father of our faith. In Galatians 3:8, it says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Anybody a Jew in here? Anybody Jewish? No, nobody a Jew. See, listen, right here, say, God would justify the Gentiles, me and you, by faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham before him, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Amen. We got in because of Abraham. Come on now. The purpose, everybody say the purpose. See, this is why it's not a just for us thing. It's not alone. Number one, the purpose of God for us is to receive the promise will always include others. Whatever God promises, you can be rest assured, it's not just for you. It's for others. Somebody else is included. So we might as well go ahead and get it fixed up. Who else you want me to bless, God? Who else is supposed to be part of it? We're supposed to call people in. It's like the gospel. He said, compel men to come in. It's not just, well, I just want them folk. I don't want them. I don't think they qualify. No, he called us all. Amen. Number two, God's promises are not just for personal gain and accomplishments, but most often for the saving and deliverance of others. That's why Joseph could say when the dream, now he may have thought in the beginning, oh, this is about me. Woo-hoo. He was all happy. But in the end, he realized, he told his brothers, he said, no, what you meant for evil, God turned for good and for the saving of lives. When he was a young lad, he probably didn't understand it, got the dream. You know how sometimes you get something, you get excited, and you think it's all about you, but rest assured, anything God gives you, it's going to include other people. In Genesis, I just had said this, but in Genesis 50, this is what Joseph says in 19 through 21. We hear Joseph how he understood and revealed the purpose of his journey. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. For am I in the place or the seat of God? In other words, it's not for me to judge y'all. It's not for me to punish y'all. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day. Talking about the fulfillment of the journey he had been on. To save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Could it be that God wants to bless you so you could bless somebody else? See, not only did he embrace the journey, but Joseph learned to understand his purpose. One thing about Joseph, you'll read, and I've combed that story many times, he's the one guy, and this may be others, but he's the one guy through all the trials and tribulations he went through in his journey, he never complained. Everybody say never complained. Never complained. Never did. You don't find it. He did not complain. He didn't murmur. He did, oh, God, what's up? I want to die. You know, you heard Elijah and all these other people, but Joseph just, hey, you know, when his brothers threw him into prison, he just went on, was made a slave, he just went on. When he went into Potiphar's house and the woman lied on him, we don't read that Joseph tried to defend himself and say, hey, that old no good woman, he didn't do it. Then when he went to the prison and then he interpreted the cupbearer and the baker's dream and the dude went up there and forgot about it. You know, we didn't see Joseph pacing the floor and going, that old no good cupbearer, he forgot about me. I hope he get his head cut off just like the baker did. He didn't do that.
That's right.
2 years, 2 years, two more years of all the years. Most of us would have been, my good God, ain't gonna never deliver me. I don't know what's going on. Did I miss God somewhere? Joseph just went right on. Hey, I don't know about y'all, but how many jails or prisons do you know that they let one of the prisoners run it?
No, that's right.
I can see in there the head of the prison walking out. Hey, Joseph, you got, yeah, you pitch him the keys. Yeah. And the Bible says the prison was blessed. I've been trying to figure out how is a prison blessed. But you know what I believe the blessing was? Because Joseph was a man of peace. a man of purpose. And those prisoners, he brought a peace. And the prophet, the ruler of jail said, man, I'm going to let this guy run it because as long as he's here, this place stays peaceful. Ain't nobody trying to get away. Ain't nobody trying to hurt nobody. It's just a place of peace. Now, here's the question. When in your life, do people see you as a person of peace?
Help me, Jesus. That's good.
Do you understand the purpose of the journey God has you on? I'm going to take a few minutes to look at some key facts concerning Israel's journey to Canaan. God delivered Israel out of the place of bondage, and he used a man to do this, and the man was Moses, who God chose. As I said earlier, God had to prepare Moses before he could lead. Everybody say preparation. Are you allowing God to deal with you and prepare you before the fulfillment of the promise? Let me ask you this question. Was Joseph ready to lead when he got his dreams from the Lord? Was David ready to be king the day he was anointed by Samuel? The answer to that is no. Was Jesus ready to start his ministry at age 25? At age 12?
That's good.
They can say, well, I mean, at 12, you know, he was talking to the lawgivers and all that. But his ministry didn't begin that day.
That's good.
It was an appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. See, there's an appointed time. There's preparation you have to go through. We must be careful. Everybody say be careful. We must be careful not to get ahead of God's preparation stages for his callings, anointings, ministries, and the fulfillment of promise. In 1 Timothy 3:6, it says, when it pertains to becoming a bishop, now it's not just about ministry, but I want you to catch the principle of this. It says, do not put a novice in office, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil.
That's good.
As I stated earlier, it's been said, God must first make the man or the woman before he makes the ministry. In this case, there is a process and a preparation we must go through to lead God's people or to take hold of anything he's given us. Moses, as well as our own Savior, Jesus, had to go through this maturation process. Let me ask you the question. Are you allowing God to take you through the process and the development? Too often, we fail to understand the role people play in our spiritual development and along our spiritual journey. We're part of a family. Everybody say, we're part of a family. We're God's family. And just like any other family, we need each other. It's amazing to me in the body of Christ how much we got this alone mentality. Alone, you know, I got my Bible, I got my books, I go to conferences and don't have nothing to do with nobody. Just all on your own. This thing, let me say something, y'all. The body of Christ, the kingdom of God, is a community faith. To me, it's a shame that a lot of times we see other religions show more community sometimes than the body of Christ. Make a point, let's change that.
That's
amen.
Right. That's good.
See, we will never, listen, everybody say, we will never accomplish alone what we can do together. We have been given the ministry gift of leaders in Ephesians 4:11 to equip the saints for the work of ministry, which is Jesus' ministry. That's one thing we who are in the fivefold, we need to remember. This is not our ministry, it's Jesus. And we are a body of people known as the body of Christ that need each other as we see in 1 Corinthians. We won't go through this, 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. If you never read those, go through this because you see we are a body. Along this journey, God wants us to forge meaningful relationships. Not that just benefit us or to be used people, but true, genuine relationships. See, look, David had his Jonathan. Moses had Jethro. And Jesus, the disciples. Because he said, you're no longer servants, but you're friends. How many genuine friends do you have? How many friends are you investing in? Rather, what can they do for me? Do you see people as benefits to you, or are you benefiting them?
Help me, Jesus. Teach me, Lord.
Before you can receive what God has promised, he must bring you to a place of freedom in him that is oftentimes accomplished using men and women. See, Exodus 3:5, he told Moses, I have come down to deliver my people out of the hands of the Egyptians. Now think about it. He said, I've come, but notice what he said, but I'm going to do it through you. See, God does things through us. Are you allowing God to do things through you to help other people? He says, I will bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. He spoke these words to Moses because Moses was a catalyst. Everybody say catalyst. Catalyst is a personal thing that precipitates an event or change. Sometimes it's called a substance that causes or accelerates a chemical reaction. Don't you like that? A catalyst. God chose to deliver his people out of bondage through Moses. Listen to this. Before we can enter into God's promises, we must come out of that which is holding us captive. Is there anything holding you captive today? The truth really is this. Jesus has already brought us deliverance. He came to set the captives free. The prison doors have been opened by Jesus. You just need to come out. Okay? He came, he died, and he rose again. Now receive the victory by faith in him. I can't ever come out of here. Jesus, the door's open. Come out. It's like a bird that's been stuck in the cage, and you open the cage up, and he got wings, and he don't fly no more. Point number five, God will provide for you the things needed for your journey. When he brought Israel to Egypt, he provided food for them to eat and water to drink. God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You know, sometimes to say that, but do you really believe it? Do you act like it? We need not worry about provisions. Think about it. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:25-34, we're not to worry about what we eat or drink, but rather seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Can I say this? There's some stuff we don't need to pray about. We can spend, oh, God, bless me, bless me. Oh, God, bless, bless, bless. And God is saying, be about my kingdom. Amen. Be about my business. Seek the things of me. Guess it'll come. Right. How many of you have had things show up in your life that you didn't even ask for? That's right. See, when you look at Solomon, Solomon sought God in his wisdom, how to lead his people. And he said, because you didn't ask for all this stuff and all that, I'm going to give it to you. Yes. Now, that don't mean go and start praying that prayer and think that's going to work, because God's going to look at your heart. All right? Okay? So we don't want to do that. Number six, God's presence will be with you as you journey. Exodus 13:21-22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before his people. In Hebrews 13:5, God promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? And, you know, sometimes I don't feel like he's with me. It's not about feelings. It's about truth. I don't feel a lot of things sometimes, but that don't make it not real, okay? Of course, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit that he may be with us always. Do you believe the Holy Spirit's with you and in you? Now, listen, the Spirit is now for us what the cloud and fire was to Israel. If you read in John 14:17, it says the Spirit will be with us and in us. In John 16:13, he will guide you to all truth. He will speak what he hears from the Father and the Son, and he will show us things to come. How many like to know things to come beforehand? He'll do it, and some of you probably experienced it. So the next point in Exodus, we read this in Exodus 13:17-18. It says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, although that way was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the sea. When God leads you into a battle, you're assured victory because you have the faith to win. Now, I want to say this. God, there's a note, as you journey, God will not lead you into a battle. You don't have faith to win. But guess what? That is no excuse for not growing in faith. We're to grow in faith. Everybody say grow in faith. That's right, how you do that. Faith come by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You know what that is too? That's not just reading. That's hearing the rhema. The real word there is not the logos or the written word. It's rhema, which means, boy, that went by fast. Rhema, which is the spoken word of God.
That's right.
The spoken. Everybody said the spoken word.
Spoken word.
We're just about there. As we're about to finish the journey. Number seven, warning. Everybody say warning.
Warning.
Do not let other people cause you to miss what God has promised. Sometimes, man, we can allow people to get in our heads, get in our way, but don't let it happen. Last in Numbers 27 through 12, the journey to your promises will last as long as it takes for God to get you out of a doubting heart. Everybody say doubting heart. Say you don't want that. Turn to your neighbor and say you don't want that. It takes faith to inherit the promise of God. So those areas of doubt, he must work out of us. That is a huge part of the process that we mentioned earlier. We must also eliminate murmuring and complaining, as Israel did often. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you a murmurer or complainer? And say, if they said, yes, I am, say, stop doing that. Okay. In Numbers 32, 9 through 13, and we're closing. Moses spoke these words to the children of Reuben and Gad concerning, this is Numbers 32, 9 through 13. Moses spoke these words to the children of Reuben and Gad concerning those who went out to spy the land and came back with a bad report. Everybody say bad report. When they went up to the valley of Eshur and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. So they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed me. Are you wholly following the Lord? And holy means to the full extent or with the exclusion of other things. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. Everybody say gone. I don't want to be gone. How many of you know what the evil was? The evil. Everybody say the evil. Let me tell you, this ain't Jason stuff. This ain't Michael Myers or everybody say the evil. It said, because they did not believe God. That was evil. They didn't believe. It was the evil. He said they did evil, not believing. God sees not believing as evil.
Help me, Jesus.
Do not make light of this. Sadly, even Moses did not get to go into promised land. After leading Israel all those years, even declaring these things over Israel, he failed to hallow and sanctify God before the people. In that incident, he was told to speak to the rock, and Moses actually said, this was in Numbers 21 through 12, we won't read that, but he and Aaron, they literally get upset, and he said, should we bring water out for you rebels? I can hear you rebels. I know they was tired of the folks because they were getting on their nerves. But that was no excuse for not representing God fully. Listen, I'm telling you, those of us particularly in leadership, we have to reverence and represent God the way God wants it to, even when people get on our last nerve, all right? Listen, Moses allowed the people to keep him from going to the promised land after all he had been through. Who in your life could you be allowing to keep you from reaching all God has for you that will bless others? See, the enemy wants to keep you from blessing others. And if he can get a set of people to hinder you, it'll keep you from helping other people. Will you allow this to continue in your life? Will you continue to walk in unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, which robs you and all those you could bless? As we close, listen to this. Thank God that Jesus did not fail his mission and purpose on his journey to save us. He trusted and believed the Father and thus birthing you and I into the kingdom of God. Jesus completed his journey of going to the cross for our salvation and has obtained the promise. Everybody say the promise. The promise. He obtained the promise that is spoken of in Psalm 2, 7, and 8. He said, I will proclaim the Lord's decree, he said to me. You are my son. Today I become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance to the ends of the earth. Your possession. We are the possession. This is the fulfillment of God's promise to Jesus. We are his promise. I'll read you this from Isaiah 53 because this is why you know it's not just, the promises just don't, are not just others. In Isaiah 53, you're familiar with this, but I'll just hit the ones that says, it's 1 through 12. Surely he took, everybody say, our pain. And bore, everybody say, our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You get the picture. You see, everything Jesus did was for others, and the others was us. Lastly, is because Jesus, his journey, his mission, in Hebrews 12, 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He was thinking about us. We today are the fulfillment of Jesus' ministry, and now that promise continues in us through the Great Commission that we would read in Matthew 28:16-20. I love this because Jesus said, and think, everybody say, I'm on the same journey with Jesus. He said in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. We are co-laborers with Christ on his journey to save the souls of men. And I'll read this last thing to you. This is so good as we get ready to close. Listen to the promise of those who partake of Jesus' mission to go and make disciples. It's in Daniel 12:3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness, which is salvation, like the stars forever and ever. Listen, when we get on his mission and make the kingdom of God, and we bring souls into the kingdom of God, we're going to shine in glory forever. And as we close, if everybody will stand on their feet right now, and maybe you're here today, maybe there's somebody here you don't know the Lord today. Let me say something to you. Your journey has not really begun until you know Jesus. It's a wonderful journey we're on with Jesus. And I'll tell you this. Is the Christian life easy? Absolutely not. The truth, but guess what? A sinful life ain't either. Okay? The way of the sinner is hard. But I'm going to tell you, there's many victories, like I said, when we follow Jesus. Now, if there's anybody that doesn't know the Lord today, raise your hand. If anybody doesn't know the Lord today. So obviously, no, we won't belabor the point, but we're all God's family today. But let me say this as we get ready to close and Pastor Jasper comes. As we've experienced terrorism and the things that are going on, let me say, do not be shaken. Do not be shaken, because the Lord told us these things would be. Evil men will grow worse and worse. But he said, when you see all these things coming, lift up your head. Everybody say, lift up your head. See, lift up your head, your salvation is now. Let me say this, the answer to sin, darkness, evil, terrorism, hatred, ISIS, Al-Qaeda is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. We got to get back to knowing the power of salvation. We got to get back, like Smith Wigglesworth used to say, you know, he would pray God every day, God, give me somebody to witness the gospel of Christ. See, the church has got to get back to the gospel. Instead of being scared and worried about, oh, is somebody going to shoot me? We should believe when I go into a place, the Holy Ghost is going to be there. I'm going to arrest anything that's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Somebody come in with got a plan for God that the Spirit of the Lord is going to knock them out in the name. We got to get back to the power of God and believe God that signs and wonders and the miracles of God will take place. Because you know why you know this? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. And we are the avenue. We're the Moses of this day that he would use to bring people to the light of the gospel. You should believe God every day. God, somebody's going to come into the kingdom because I walked into the place. When I step into the grocery store, salvation came because we're the representatives, the ambassadors of Christ. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
See, we're so worried about loss sometimes and what I'm going to have to give up. Let me tell you something. These present troubles that we go through don't compare to the glory that we're going to receive. And the truth of the matter is, guess what? I know this may sound a little callous, but this was the scripture. Here's the thing. Don't fear the ones who can kill the body, but you would fear the one who could kill the body and cast it into hell. And the truth of the matter is, we don't die anyhow. Amen. So the truth is, we might as well go ahead and witness the gospel, because even absent from the body is present with the Lord. So ain't nobody taking me out. Matter of fact, you can say to Terry, go on, take me out. I get to go be with Jesus. Come on now. You just get me to God. Come on now. And a matter of fact, you take me out, there'll be 10,000 more that shall come. We got to believe for the power of God.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast, a place of new beginnings and hope for the future. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.